Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? You look great. You have a good Christmas, good New Year's, ready for an awesome year. Well, let me give you one update on our move to Gainesville. They had a work day yesterday. They removed all the crown molding and cleaned up, and this week they're going to be leveling the floor, and then they're also going to be finishing up on the outside, and then probably the beginning of next week, walls are going to start going up. And then there'll be a lot more work for us to do. So we'll keep you posted on the work. The best way, because this is kind of fluid, we're depending on other people's schedules as to what we need to do. We're kind of caught up on our work until the contractors do a little bit more of their work. And the best way for us to let you know is if you could go to Facebook and like our page, like the Victory Church page. And then like Friday, we can let you know if there's going to be a work day. Most likely there'll be a work day every Saturday, but we'll let you know what kind of work's going to be done, and like if we need some tools, or you know, you'll know better what to wear. So the best way for us to communicate with you is through the Facebook, like our Victory Church Facebook page, and then Pastor Mike usually will send out an update on Friday as to what's happening the next day and times and so forth. So a lot got done this past week. And we're moving forward. Keep it in your prayers. We said at the beginning we needed $55,000. And up through right now, we have received $34,042. Give yourselves a hand. Praise the Lord for that. We're excited about moving into Gainesville. Well, let's go ahead and get into our message. There are some notes, sermon notes, in your worship guide. But if you need an extra copy, the ushers do have some extras. Raise your hand. An usher would be happy to bring you a sermon note. So you can. I think you're going to want the notes because we're going to be talking some stuff to help us in the coming year. So the title of my message is 2019, the year of the overflow. And I say that because just in the last couple of weeks, praying over the church and our future, and of course this message, I just kept getting that it's a year for us to walk into a new level. It's coming into the promised land. I want to talk about that today, what that means. When God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, Pharaoh was a type of the devil. Egypt is a type of bondage to sin and to the world. And he brought him out, but they didn't go from there into the promised land. They were in the wilderness for a while. How many of you ever felt like you've been in the wilderness? Like you gave your life to God, you made some quality decisions, but where's all these blessings? Where's the land flowing with milk and honey and abundance and all this blessing that I keep seeing in the Bible? Well, there's always a time of preparation and a time of testing and a time of forging. And you and I are always in seasons, and sometimes it ebbs and flows, but there's always this progression in the Christian life of a type of forging. Sometimes I like to watch these programs on TV where they'll take a piece of metal and turn it into a sword or a knife or some useful tool. And the metal always goes through a process called forging. And it involves two things, heat and pressure. And if you think about your life, God's trying to forge. Forging is a metallurgical process that makes the steel tough. It makes it hard. It also makes it flexible. At the same time, it's strong, it's durable. So it won't break, and it won't snap, but it can accomplish the purpose for which it was created. And in order for that piece of steel to be transformed into something that's useful, it goes through a forging process. And you and I are in God's forge right now. And that means heat, and sometimes we don't like the heat. Sometimes we pray against the heat, and we think it's the devil, and there certainly is a devil, and sometimes we think we created it ourselves, and we certainly do create problems ourselves, but God uses all that as part of the forging process. He turns up the heat in our life, and I watch these, and they take that piece of metal, and they stick it in these coals, and then they put wind, and they superheat the coal till the piece of metal is glowing red. Have you ever seen that? And then what do they do? They say, that's bad enough. Boy, you really heated that thing up. Oh, no, he's not done. Then he takes this huge hammer, like Thor's hammer, you know, right? And this guy's got a big bicep and forearm because this is what he does all day. Bang, bang, bang. You say, whoa, what's he going to do? He's going to ruin the medal. Have you ever felt like you couldn't take it anymore? I can't take one more lick. I'm not going to make it. But the Bible says you'll never be tested beyond that which you can bear. No, you can make it. Here's the thing. Just don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. He knows what he's doing. And that blacksmith, he heats it super hot, and then he puts it on an anvil, and then he starts whacking it. Bang! And what happens is every bang sends a shockwave through the molecular structure of that metal that makes it stronger. And it stretches it, and it forms it into the shape that he wants. He can take just a big square piece of metal and put it into a nice fine blade that he can put an edge on so it's useful for its intended purpose. And you and I are in the forge. But there's a purpose for all that. He's doing something with you. So you go through this wilderness process, and the whole purpose is to get you into that land, the promised land, that kept talking about, the Bible kept talking about the land flowing with milk and honey. How many want to get there? And I'm going to call it the year of the overflow. I could have used a number of different words. They're all accurate. I thought about calling it the year of abundance, because we're talking about abundance. I could have said the year of more than enough, because that's what we're talking about. I could have said the year of victory, which Michael Crames said. I didn't know he was going to give kind of a prophetic utterance in his word. He said he was speaking prophetically about the church, and we didn't even compare notes on this. And he said he believed that God was saying for our church it's going to be a year of victory. I could have used that term. That's what I was feeling that whole week. And when I say for the church, that means you. That means us. The church is people, every one of us. So I want to be here today to tell you that from my time in prayer with the Lord is that for every one of you in this room, it's going to be a year of transition into the year of overflow. Not I don't have any, and not I just have a little bit and not enough, and not even the year of enough. And some of us, I'd like to have enough, right? That's not God's ultimate desire. Do you know? Prosperity is not having enough. That's not what prosperity. Prosperity is not having enough. Prosperity is having too much. It's having enough and more than enough so that you have to be a blessing, that you realize that now I have a responsibility. What I have more than enough. And a Christian, what is a Christian? A non-Christian just thinks how he can increase his consumption. A Christian thinks about how to pass it on to somebody else and be a blessing to somebody else. That's why God's not afraid to bless Christians, because we have a heart for the world and for other people. That's what he told Abraham. I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. And that's what I'm here to tell you today, that I believe this year the word is that God wants to bless you to be a blessing. That's what we want to talk about today. This overflow, the concept of overflow. King David said in Psalm 23, how many of you love Psalm 23? I love it. I think about it all the time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A lot of people like it in the King James. And then he goes on further down and he says that in the King James, it says, my cup runneth over. So I could have called this the 2019, the year of runneth over. But I thought that might sound a little odd. We don't speak in King James anymore. So here I have it in the New American Standard, and Psalm 23, verse 5 puts it this way. It says, you prepare a table before me, David speaking in this psalm, Psalm 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. That's a good thing. My cup overflows. Overflows. It's not full. It overflows. That's what I want to talk about. That was the concept that I felt like the Holy Spirit kept giving me when praying about what is this year? What is 2019? I just kept getting this concept of overflow. It's time to move into the overflow as a church. It's time to move into the overflow. As an individual in your family, it's time to move into the overflow. The year of struggling, the time of just trying to get by, I think we have, and it's a matter of faith. Everything in the kingdom of God operates by faith. So I'm trying today to take some scriptural principles and speak prophetically so that your faith is stirred up to believe, because it's contingent upon our faith, right? Everything in the kingdom works by faith. So we now have to create an expectancy in our heart and a belief that this is the will of God, that this is the desire of God for me, is to come into a year, this year. I want you to start just having it in your heart. This is going to be my year of overflow. This is going to be the year of more than enough. This is the year of breakthrough. This is the year when I transition from never having enough, whatever, in every area of life, but to moving into a year of not only having enough, but having more than enough. Breakthroughs, multiple breakthroughs. In what kind of areas? In every area of life. Spiritually, I believe in 2019, I want everybody in this church to believe spiritually to grow to a higher level. To spiritually, not just getting by spiritually, but having an overflow to pass on to other people spiritually. A spiritual overflow. A relationship with God that overflows and spills out onto other people where they say, I want what you've got. I see something happening in your life. I see a relationship. Being able to hear the voice of God. How many of you like to hear the voice of God better? Not just struggling and wondering, but to be able to hear. I heard many years ago, a preacher told a story about a man in his church. Let me just give you an example. The things that I'm talking about, the concept in the spiritual realm. This man was a member of the congregation. He was a worker. He was a salesman. He traveled. This is in Texas, and he was on the road all the time. His wife worked. They were good people. They weren't poor, but they were just, you know, doing all right, getting by. And he was driving down this old country road out in the middle of nowhere, and he said the Holy Spirit, there was a sign that said for sale, and the Holy Spirit said, buy that land. It's in the middle of nowhere. And he thought, why would I buy land out here? But he knew that. And he called his wife and he told his wife what happened. He said, I saw this sign and I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, buy that land. And she said, well, buy it. She had faith in him and his ability to hear God. She said, if God told you to do it, then buy it. He called. He found out about the land. He didn't quite have enough money. So he went home and he sold all their furniture. And just that day, and took the money and went and bought the land. His wife came home and there was no furniture. She said, what'd you do? He said, well, you told me to buy the land. I bought the land. She said, well, all right, if that's God. And for a while they thought, oh my goodness. And you know, they made it. They did all right. And 9 months later, he opens the paper and he opens the front page of the paper and it's announcing that they're putting the interstate in Texas in the middle. In the middle of nowhere between two little towns, and it says the interstate, and he says, that's pretty close to my land. Lo and behold, the interstate went right smack dab through the middle of his land that he owned all four quadrants of the interchange. He ended up selling that property for hundreds of times more than what he paid for it, so that he was set for the rest of his life. One word from God can change your life. That's what I'm talking about, getting in the spiritual realm, getting a breakthrough where you can hear from God. Huh? Who knew that was going to happen? See, God knows. Do you know what's going to happen this year? No, you don't know. Nobody knows. God knows. And he can speak to you. Growing, I'm talking about a breakthrough spiritually where you can hear simple things like that, just driving down the road, buy that piece, do this, do that, sell, buy, move, whatever. Hearing from God. I'm talking about emotionally in your area of your emotions, having a breakthrough, coming to a new level of peace and joy in your life, huh? Yeah, the Bible says that in Isaiah 53. He was pierced through for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace that's in your soul fell upon him. It's time to grow in that area of peace in your soul. Physically, I believe it's time for all of us to go to a new level physically, to where we have abundant health, more than enough. Amen. Financially, yeah, that's an area of life that's very important that the Bible addressed. 2/3 of Jesus' parables dealt with finances because it's very important to us. I believe it's time for financial breakthrough. Four people want a financial breakthrough. God bless you. You're going to get it this year if you latch onto it. I'm telling what I'm talking about today is the contingent upon us receiving it. It's time for a financial breakthrough. Yeah. Amen. Okay, a few more got it. More than enough. Social breakthrough. I think it's time for overflow. Financial overflow. not just getting by. I believe it's time for overflow, to be a blessing to other people. Socially, overflow, what does that mean? Abundant favor, that there's favor on you. That's what social overflow is, blessing, that there's a favor on your life. And God creates good relationships. You have good relationships socially. I believe God wants us to experience overflow in all these areas. I think it's time for us to come into the land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. When they sent the spies into the promised land, they came back and they said, everything, it's huge stuff over, it's huge. In fact, they brought back a sample and said, we didn't think you'd believe us, so we brought back some grapes. And it said that they had the grape, the cluster of grapes was so big, they had to put them on a pole and two men had to carry it to keep it from dragging on the ground. That's some pretty big grapes, right? That's the land flowing with milk and honey. And you think about, what is the why does he say milk and honey? I've never really tried milk and honey together. Has anybody ever done that? I don't know. But here's the thing that I was thinking about. Milk is, you know, you just go up to the cow and you get it. You see, right? The cow made it. The brown cow ate green grass and gave you white milk. Isn't that a miracle? And you just go up and get it, right? And same thing with honey. The bees made it for you. And I think that's why he says the land flowing with milk and honey, where it's things are brought into you, somebody else does the labor, and it's the concept of God blessing you in a certain way. It's the land of abundance, the land of overflow. That's why I brought, see, because we get in the world, we have a scarcity mentality. It's just the way the world is. And we think God's like that, and he's not. And we have to change our thinking to where we think like God when he says, oh, my cup runneth. That's what David said, my cup runneth over. And a lot of us, this is our life. And a lot of us, we've all been there. What's in your cup? Huh? How many can relate to what I'm talking about? And somebody says, hey, can I have some of your coffee? I'd like to. You ever felt like, I'd like to help you. I'd like to help you, but I can't help you. I can barely help myself. And I wanted to give you a visual concept and of having something. And a lot of us have this scarcity mentality because that's the way the world is. You have to eke out a living. And we think that's the way God operates. And it's not the way God operates. He makes stuff out of nothing. Everything in the world, he made it with words. You think about, Jesus had a desire to feed 12,000 people. It said 4,000 men plus women and children, 12,000 people. And they said, what do you got? We got a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And what did the disciples say? They said the natural thing, which is the way we think about our life today. I want us to change our thinking to where we're not thinking about God operates like we have to operate. It's just logical for those men to say, we got whatever it was, two fish and two loaves. We can't feed 12,000. We can't do it. We can't do it. Jesus said, I got to change your thinking. Pray over it and hand it out. Now, how do you feed 12,000 people with a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread? It said they picked up 12 baskets full of remnants. You see, because God's not limited to this world. And we're going to have to come into a supernatural level. It's not being smarter and working harder and doing better and out conniving and out figuring like the way of this world is. I'm the self-made man. I did it. I struggled. Yeah, look at me. For Christians, it's not that way. It's look at God. Amen. See, when you take a few fish and a few loaves and feed 12,000 people, you don't say, look at me. You realize, I didn't do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. You never can do that. God can, but that's the way God operates. He's trying to get us to begin operating the way he operates in the supernatural. I think we've relied too much, and there's nothing wrong with learning and studying and learning as a Christian to be responsible and to do better, but never confine your Christianity to only doing better. You need to do better, but don't confine it to that. There is the miraculous and the supernatural side of Christianity that cannot be denied. God is a supernatural God. How do you take a blind person and make him see? It's supernatural. How do you take a lame person and make him walk? It's supernatural. How do you raise a dead person from the dead? It's supernatural. And some of the stuff that needs to happen in our life, it's got to be supernatural. As we move into Gainesville, I don't want us to be a natural church. I want to do better in the natural things. I want to do better in greeting people and meeting people and helping them find their place, but I don't want us to just be so great at all the mechanics that we're trusting in that. I want us to always be trusting in the supernatural power of God to set people free, to deliver people, to heal people, and to send them in the right direction with the things of God. And that includes finances. I thank God for Dave Ramsey and Financial Peace University, because you need to do things right. Yeah. But don't limit yourself to just doing things right and coming up with a budget. How about believe in God for supernatural increase? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. In every area of life. We need to get our soul area cleaned up and deal with the hurts of the past, but how about a supernatural work of God in our soul area of healing those things? We got to be supernatural. The church has to be supernatural. The year of overflow is relying in the supernatural. Not us just all becoming geniuses in all these areas. We need to increase. We need to read. We need to study. We need to do better. But we also have to have a complete reliance on God. That if God doesn't come through, then what difference does it make? It's not about me. We are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, Philippians chapter 1 says. Who glory so that when if anything happens so great in your life, people look at you and go, "Ooh, how did you do that?" There's only one answer. Ain't me. It ain't me. It had to be God. And they look at you and they go, "Yeah, I'll look at you. It had to be God." That's all right. That's okay with me. God delights to take the foolish things of the world and confound the wise. That's why he picked me. That's why he picked you. See, we're not anything special, but you know what? He's something special. And he can take anyone and make something great, make something awesome. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. He's never done with you. He's not through with you. As long as you're breathing, as long as you're on this planet, as long as he hasn't come back, he's got something for you to do. And there's something for us to do as a church. And I believe it's the year of the overflow, and it's time to come into that. And so some of us is like this. Our cup is empty. And then some of us, we work and we struggle and we get better, but it's still just like that. Hey, don't that look good? John made that for me this morning. Let me see. It's hot, and it's black, but it's good. It's still good. It's good. But if you come and you say, now I got some, right? I got a little bit there, and now I can wet my whistle. That's not bad. But if you come up, do I have much to share with you? I don't have much. In fact, if you ask me, I go, no. That's just all. How many of you ever felt like that? Somebody wants some help, and I want to help you, but I'm thirsty. Huh? And what does he say when David says, my cup runneth over? He says, we come from a place. And he didn't say, I've come from this place where I just got a very little. He said, but now, I got some. That's pretty good right there. But see, that's not where God operates. See, when he says that, and when Jesus said it in Luke 6:38, he said, given it will be given it. He made particular attention to say, given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, what? David said it. He said, my cup, what? Runneth over. It's overflow. Jesus said it. He said, how are you going to live? Half cup? How about, wouldn't it be great if your cup was full? How many of you just, it would be great if I could just get a full cup. Huh? Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Wouldn't it be great? I mean, some of us, if looking at 18, say, if I could just get that much in 19, I'd be pretty good. But I want you to take your mind off the natural and go on. Come on to supernatural. See, maybe I could do that in my own strength if I was smarter, if I worked harder, if I made some better deals. I might could get a full cup. But that's not what God wants us. He wants us into this area that breaks common sense. He says, I want your life. Now, watch this cup, because I want you to take this picture home with you this week. And I want this to be your life. I want this to be. This is the way God operates. The cup is full. Come on, folks. I see some of you getting coffee in the morning, and I say, the cup is full. Don't put no more in there. But they do. They get it right up like this. And how are you going to drink that? How are you going to even get it up to your mouth? No, but that, see, God, that, you're thinking like God. I see you out there. Now you say, I'm thinking like God. But the you know, cup will only hold so much. But here's the way God operates. God says, I defy common reasoning and common sense. I got to do this. That's enough. Whoa. Come on. What should I do now? Come on, tell me. If someone was pouring you a cup of coffee on your nice table with that nice cloth tablecloth and they were doing that, what would you say? Tell me. If come on, tell me. You're at my table and I'm doing this and I'm talking, and what are you going to say? Come on, tell me. You know what? Because that's, the Bible says, when Moses took up the offering to build the temple, this is the situation. He said, tell the people, stop, it's more than enough. And I believe in 2019, if you will hook your faith up with me and you'll hook your faith up with the Word of God, I'm going to give you some scriptures. They're going to be in your notes. You can take it home with you. Oh my, I just looked at the clock. I'm not even in the page 2 of my notes, and I got 25 pages. I got to tell you, this is the word for us. No, I'm going to continue next week, because we got to do this. We got to do this. It's time to do this. I want you to be thinking about this. I want it to be, I believe God wants us to get over, look at that, it's too much. And you know what? He just keeps pointing. I want us as a church, I got so much wisdom, I got so much anointing, I got so much healing in my body and in my soul, I feel so complete. I got to share it with somebody else. I got to share it. I got to get out there on campus. I got to get out in the neighborhood. I got to, finances, come on. What am I going to do with all this? How many would like to have that kind of problem? Hey, you know, do you know that's a test? That's going to be a test. You better start preparing now. Think, what am I going to do with that overflow? Because that's responsibility. That's responsibility. When you got to, that's a huge responsibility that's been put on you. No, I can't waste it. If you got time, that's a huge responsibility. If you got health in your body, that's a huge responsibility. If you got a talent, come on, that's a huge responsibility. He didn't give you that stuff just for yourself. It is for yourself, but it's for somebody else too. And I believe it's time for us as a church to look like this. Whoa, come on, stop. Whoa. That's the word. That's the word for us. It's got to be, that's what he said. My cup runs over. Stop. You're wasting. I don't like wasting stuff. How many of you like wasting stuff? I don't like running the water when I'm brushing my teeth. I don't know why. It's not that much water, but it bugs me to waste stuff. I don't like throwing food out. That's why I got 2 Great Danes. They got someplace to go. He's not going to waste it. They're going to eat. They got hollow legs. Unbelievable. Even Billy. Billy's a little poodle. You can't believe how much that dog can eat. Well, I don't know where he puts it. He's a nonstop. Anyway, I don't know where I go off. That's crazy. I'm talking about... We in this earth, we don't like wasting stuff. That's, you know what? God don't think like that. You know why? He can just speak and stuff can be created. He just speaks. See, we got to start thinking as far as our believing and realizing we have a God of unlimited resources. Come on, unlimited resources. You know how many stars there are? They can't even count how many stars there are. When he made the stars, he could have made 4, 5, or 10, 100, 1,000. That'd been plenty. No, there's just trillions upon trillions. And the universe, as far as we can tell, is expanding at the speed of light. That's the kind of God. Now, let me tell you, today is the beginning of 21 days of prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you. Pastor Mike sent an email out to everybody yesterday or Friday. How many got it about fasting? If you didn't, We got a problem here. We need to connect. Take your connection card and put your email address, because you need to get that email. And I want you to go on there and click the button, and I want you to read 2 articles. There's 2 articles about fasting. One by Bill Bright, and he really talks about the why of fasting, and you need to read that. And then click on the one that says Church of the Highlands, and it talks about how different types of fast. And I don't want to spend all the time doing that. I want you to go home and read that, and I want you to prepare. And it talks about having a reason for your fast. Why? You, and a part of what we're, I want you to be, this to be part of your fast. Because there's power in fasting. Fasting will give you breakthrough. And I'm talking about getting a breakthrough. In what area do you need breakthrough? Spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social, or probably if you're like me, all five. Come on, all five. And use this 21 days. What are you fasting for? Because the church said fast. That's good. What do you want to accomplish? What is going to be the result? There needs to be a result. Set your goals today on what you want to accomplish at the end of 21 days. And it needs to have some factor of overflow, supernatural, in one of these five areas or all of these five areas. Are you with me? And we're going to have a prayer meeting every Saturday during the 21 days. So there'll be three Saturdays. It'll end on that third Saturday on January 26th. And we're going to have them at the new building from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Saturday. So we'll be having work days. So if you're working, you would just be there. If you're not working, just come for the prayer meeting. So our 21 days of prayer and fasting starts today. Go read those articles. Decide on what your fast is going to be and do it. But don't just do it because we said to do it. Have a goal in mind and accomplish something in one of these areas of overflow. Amen? Is everybody on the same page? Pray for breakthrough. Pray for fulfillment of prophecy. Did you know prophecy? Some Bible prophecies, they're going to happen no matter what, and some are conditionals, particularly personal prophecies. All right? Let me give you a couple of Bible prophecies. In Psalm 37, 18, 19, David writing, he said, "The Lord knows the days of the blameless." Now, here's why this is prophetic. This was written in the Old Testament before Jesus. People were not blameless. You couldn't get blameless. You gave the atonement for your sins. The blood sacrifice covered your sins, did not remove your sins. That's why this is a prophetic verse. Blameless. How many people here are blameless? See, some of you don't even realize what Jesus did for you on the cross. You say, "Well, I make lots of mistakes." Yep, me too. But I'm blameless. Why? Because of that cross. You're either 100% today, you're either 100% righteous or 100% unrighteous. There's no in between. How do you get 100% righteous? You can't. Jesus did it. You accept it by faith. You receive the gift of salvation, makes you 100% righteous. Okay? So this talks about a time in the future. The Lord knows the day of the people that are washed by the blood of the Lamb, washed free of their sins. The blameless, that's us, that's you, that's me. So you need to think like that. So let me give you another test. We'll try it again. How many here today are blameless? Okay, got you. Good. Okay. The Lord knows the days of the blameless. And so when you read that, you say, "That's me." The Lord knows the day of who? That's me. Say, "That's me." The Lord knows the days of who? That's me. And their inheritance will be for, you have an inheritance. It's from the cross. It's a spiritual inheritance. Yep. You say, "Well, I even knew my parents. My parents are broke. They didn't leave me nothing." Oh, you got a Father in heaven who's very wealthy, and he's given you an inheritance. Come on. Amen. They will not be ashamed in the day of evil, in the day of famine. They're going to starve like everybody else. They're going to barely get by. They'll survive. They're just going to barely, everybody's dying. Is that what it says? See, we got to change our thinking. "Well, the whole world's starving. I'll just be glad." No, see, I'm talking about supernatural. I'm talking about supernatural. And I'm talking about Bible. The Bible says it's supposed to happen in the lives of the blameless, the Christian. We underestimate what Jesus did for us on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago. Don't devalue what he did on the cross. "Well, he saved me from hell." Yes, that's not all he did. Every area of life. Yeah, every area of life. In the days of famine, what will they have? Abundance. Overflow. Abundance. More than... Is that right? Yeah. Well, that ain't right. Everybody... No, they need you. Huh? In the days of famine, somebody needs to have more than enough to help some people. Come on. Is there a spiritual famine in the land? Yes. Is there a smartness famine in the land? Yes. Is there a truth famine in the land? Yes. Somebody needs to have an abundance. Here's another Bible prophecy. Isaiah, I think I'll have a little bit more of that coffee. My throat's dry. Go ahead, look that up. I'm going to drink this. Tastes better out of the top of the cup there when it's full. then you'll see Isaiah 60. Isaiah, you know, is very prophetic. Isaiah 53 talked about the suffering servant, Jesus. He'll be like a reed, a shaken brew. We didn't esteem him, smitten of God and afflicted. Isaiah, and then Isaiah, most of Isaiah is prophetic, talking about the future. And look at this, Isaiah 60, verse. Then he's talking about us. Say, it's me. Okay, when I read this, you'd be thinking, that's me. Then you say, that's me. You'll see and be radiant. Come on. How many of you ready for that? Be radiant. What makes you radiant? See, when your cup is overflowing, it changes you. When you got more health, it changes you. When you got more finances, it changes you. When your soul gets cleansed and you get healed, it changes you. Huh? When favors and things go well for you, it changes you. When you have a good relationship with God, it changes you. Then you will see and be radiant. It's time for the church to rise up in 2019 and be radiant. Be something that people say, I want that, instead of, I don't want to be like those people. Huh? For too long, the church has looked like they were baptized in lemon juice and weaned on a pickle, and people say, I don't want that kind of stuff. And they say, he wants us to come to this place where it's overflowing and we're radiant. People say, how did you do that? Well, I want to be like you. Huh? That's what Malachi chapter 3 says about the blessing. When you tithe, he blesses. And it says so that the Philistines would envy you, so that the world would envy you. He wants to bless us because he knows we're not just consumed with ourselves. We care about the world. Then you will see and be radiant. And look at this. Your heart will thrill and rejoice. How many want that? Come on. When you start getting the over, this is what God wants for us. Man, I am not going to be able to finish this message, but it's a good message. Come on. It's good. I got to get a couple more of these scriptures. This is very important. This sets the pace of the year, 2019. This is going to set the pace for you. The first Sunday of the year, setting the pace. The first day of the week, you took it and you made it special. You said, I'm going to go worship God, honor the Sabbath. God bless you. Congratulations, you're here. And the first Sunday, and this needs to set the pace. This is what we got to be like this year. Then you'll see and be radiant. You know, I want you to read that every day this week. Please read that and say, that's me. And then you will say, I'm going to be radiant this year. I will see and be radiant. Your heart will thrill and rejoice. This year, by the end of this year, I'm not going to recognize myself. I'm going to be so happy, so full, so filled with the Holy Ghost, with overflow blessings. Come on. Everything in the kingdom works by faith. Grace is what God provides. Faith is what releases what grace contains. Grace is God's part. Faith is my part. I can't do it without God, but watch this. God can't do it without me. God can't save a single person if they don't cooperate with him. He did it. It's done. He's paid the price, but until I use my faith and tap into it, I'll go to hell. And same thing with this right here, what we're talking about. It operates by faith, and that's why I'm looking at this scripture. That's why I'm taking my time with it, because you have to, faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Your faith has to come from the Word of God. You have to find a scripture and latch on to it. Come on! Latch on to it. Hold on to it. You got to look at this. And if you got your notes, all these scriptures are in your notes. Take it home. Start meditating on it. Then you'll see and be radiant. Your heart will thrill and rejoice, because watch this. The abundance of the sea. The sea is the sea, but it also, prophetically, this is a prophetic scripture. The sea means people. In Revelations, it says there's a sea of crystal around the throne. Is there crystal around the throne? Yes, but what is it? It's purified people. Crystal is, the sea is people. It's people washed by the blood of the Lamb. Their sins are forgiven. And so this is talking about two things. It might be from the literal sea, but it's from the people, the masses of people. The abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. Now you can let that go, or you can latch onto it. Exodus 3:7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. How many say, well, that's me, who are in Egypt. The world system is beating me down, and have given heed to their cry. How many have cried out to God? He said, he hears it. How many have cried tears? He sees them. He says he got them. He saves them in a bottle. None of them's wasted. He sees your prayers. He sees your tears. He hears your cries. I've given heed to their cry because of their tax masters, so I'm aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them. Aha, he did. Jesus came down and he delivered us on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago from the power of the Egyptians, that's slavery, that's the devil, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land. Say, that's me. That's my land. You've got a land. You've got an inheritance. You've got something waiting. You've got to lay hold of it by faith, though. You got to lay hold of it by faith. David couldn't kill that giant in his own strength. He said, I come to you. He said, you come with a sword and a spear. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. Huh? And in your life this year, thank God for doing better, but it's got to be, say, it's going to happen by the name of the Lord. By my God, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. The hand to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land. There it is again, a land flowing with milk and honey. 16 times in this little passage here, he says, the land flowing with milk and honey. And I'm saying to you today, there's a land for you flowing with, don't settle for just enough. Don't settle for half full cup. Some of you just praying, Lord, if I could just get half full. If I could have a full cup. No, don't even settle for that. It's got to be the overflow, because that's God. It's got to be supernatural. It's got to be, people go, how did that happen? And you don't say, oh, I'm just so smart, you say, it's just God. It's just God. It's just God. Uh-huh. Yeah, you say, yeah, but that's the Old Testament. Well, Luke chapter 6 is the New Testament, isn't it? Give and it will be given. Jesus speaking, Jesus is New Testament, isn't it? Give and it will be given to you. Watch this. They, that's the sea, right? The sea, people out there. They will pour into your lap, good measure, press down, shake. Why? Because if you went and bought a basket of wheat back in those days, you've all experienced this in some kind of something in the kitchen, you know, wheat, and you know, you just kind of, if somebody really wanted to give you a good deal, here's what they would do. Bang it, shake it, bang it, shake it. And sometimes you can compress it about halfway down, especially like wheat. It's so fluffy, right? How much hay can you squeeze into a bale if you put it in the press? You take that hay out and fluff it up, it's this big, and you can pack it down. You can pack it down. And that's what he said. This is going to be a good deal. Press down. That's what he said, right? That's what he said. Pour into your lap. Good measure. Press down. Shaken together. And then what? Come on. Come on. Not only did he press it down and then shake it together, but then he's got to make sure. You can't say it wasn't enough. No, he's got to make sure. That's the way he wants you to be this year. Jesus said it right there. Come on. I'm on page 12. I got 26. We're going to pick this up. We're going to pick this up. Let's read this again, though. Give, and it will be given. So something initiates this. That's faith. Giving. I don't have enough. Yep. That takes faith to give. Give, and that initiates this, because that shows your faith. Faith without works is dead. Give, and it'll be given to you. They will pour into your lap, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, what? Running over by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you again. Anybody get anything out of this today? I don't even know how to end, because I don't even know where I'm at in my notes, but I got a little carried away. But you got something out of this. How many of you believe that this is the word of the Lord for us as a church? How many of you believe this is a word of the Lord for you, you and your family? All right? That's what's going to make a difference. If you sit here today and you go, that's good, and you know what? I think Pastor Bill is going to get blessed this year. That's awesome. And you know what? I think Victory Church is going to go into overflow. That's awesome. But not me. Then guess what? It won't be you. But I want it to happen to you. That's what overflow in the church is. Is us. I want everybody, and I'm not done with this. I'm coming back to this next week. Because see, I got another four. I don't even have to work this week. I got notes for next week right here. I got my, and I already had next week's message, so that's going to be next week, the next week. But this is for you. That's what I felt when I was praying over the people of Victory Church. My heart is for you to be well. My heart is for you to know God. I want everybody in this church to know God better this year than you knew last year. I want everybody in this church to find freedom. You say, well, Pastor, I'm pretty free. Yeah, we all are. I'm pretty free, but I'm amazed sometimes when I pray how much baggage I picked up from the past that God's still dealing with. And he will heal you every day. And, you know, he wants more freedom. That's my prayer for you, is to keep finding freedom. We have a small group called Freedom. And it kind of just teaches you how to get more freedom. My desire for you is to discover your purpose. Because if you don't know your purpose, you're just bouncing around like a pinball in a pinball machine. You got to find your purpose. And another thing, my prayer is for you is to make a difference. Take all that stuff, put it together, and do what you're actually created to do. And that's when you're fulfilled and you're happy and you have peace in your life. And so my prayer this past couple weeks was for our church. And this is what God showed me, that to teach us to lay hold of that overflow in every area of life, every area of life. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the people that are here today. People of Victory Church, my heart cry and desire for them is to prosper in every area of life, to grow, to increase, to do better. Because we are blessed, I want them to be blessed, to be a blessing. Because we are the hope of the world, Jesus, because you decided to operate through us, your church, to operate. You said, I'll build my church. And Lord, you're building your church, and that's just people. And we're just people. But when you come on the inside of us, we become supernatural people. Huh? We can help people. And I pray for everybody that's here today to rise to a new level, to where our needs are met and we have more than enough. And we're praying about who do I bless? Who do I help? How do I help somebody go to the next level in God? I pray for your people right now. And I pray that you put some of these scriptures on our heart as we take these notes and read them this week. And you're going to, by the Holy Spirit, ignite scriptures are going to come off the page and come alive and come into our heart. And we're going to lay hold of them like never before. And we're going to start believing like never before and confessing your word like never before. And Lord, we confess as a people that this year is the year of the breakthrough. It's the year of the overflow. And it's more than enough. And we have to say, whoa, 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 whoa. We're looking forward to that, Lord God. And we're asking, who do I give it to and who do I share it with? And right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for everybody who's here right now. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. Think so. Hope so. Not sure. Does anybody know for sure? That's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. And the Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. Yes, you can know that you have eternal life. How do you get that? Someone asked Jesus that in John chapter 3. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. Hey, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be born again to be a Christian. That means there comes a time in your life when you just ask God to forgive your sins. And he does. He forgives me. He comes and lives inside of you and makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. And in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But you might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I want to be with God, and I want to get back on track. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward, but with every head bowed and every eye closed, if either one of those two apply to you, just slip up your hand real quick and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Thank you. Anybody else? Today is a new day, a new start, fresh start. You want to be sure you died tonight, you go to heaven, or you want to get back on track? Anybody else? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer.